The opal colors of the morning light are shot from the surface of the water. Out on the lake, the last thin threads of the mist are clearing away like flecks of cotton wool. The long call of the loon echoes over the lake. The air is cool and fresh. There is in it all the new life of the land of the silent pine and the moving waters. Lake Wissanotti in the morning sunlight. Don't talk to me of the Italian lakes or the Tyrol or the Swiss Alps. Take them away, move them somewhere else. I don't want them. Excursion day, at 6:30 of a summer morning. With the boat all decked in flags and all the people in Mariposa on the wharf, and the band in peaked caps with big cornets tied to their bodies, ready to play at any minute, I say, don't tell me about the Carnival of Venice and the Delhi Durbar. Don't. I wouldn't look at them. I'd shut my eyes. For light and color give me every time an excursion out of Mariposa, down the lake to the Indian's island, out of sight in the morning mist. Talk of your papal zouaves and your Buckingham Palace guard. I want to see the Mariposa band in uniform and the Mariposa Knights of Pythias with their aprons and their insignia and their picnic baskets and their 5-cent cigars. 6:30 in the morning, and all the crowd on the wharf and the boat due to leave in 30 minutes. Notice it, in 30 minutes. Already she's whistled twice, at 6 and at 6:15. And at any minute now, Christy Johnson will step into the pilot house and pull the string for the warning whistle that the boat will leave in 30 minutes. So keep ready. Don't think of running back to Smith's Hotel for the sandwiches. Don't be fool enough to try to go up to the Greek store next to Netley's and buy fruit. You'll be left behind for sure if you do. Never mind the sandwiches and the fruit. Anyway, here comes Mr. Smith himself with a huge basket of provender that would feed a factory. There must be sandwiches in that. I think I can hear them clinking. And behind Mr. Smith is the German waiter from the CAF with another basket, indubitably lager beer. And behind him the bartender of the hotel carrying nothing, as far as one can see. But of course, if you know Mariposa, you will understand that why he looks so nonchalant and empty-handed is because he has 2 bottles of rye whiskey under his linen duster. You know, I think, the peculiar walk of a man with 2 bottles of whiskey in the inside pockets of a linen coat. In Mariposa, you see, to bring beer to an excursion is quite in keeping with public opinion. But whiskey? Well, one has to be a little careful. Do I say that Mr. Smith is here? Why, everybody's here. There's Hustle, the editor of the News Packet, wearing a blue ribbon on his coat, for the Mariposa Knights of Pythias are, by their constitution, dedicated to temperance. And there's Henry Mullins, the manager of the Exchange Bank, also a Knight of Pythias, with a small flask of Pogram's Special in his hip pocket as a sort of amendment to the constitution. And there's Dean Drone, the chaplain of the order, with a fishing rod. You never saw such green bass as lie among the rocks at Indian's Island. And with a trolling line in case of masquinonge, and a landing net in case of pickerel, and with his eldest daughter, Lillian Drone, in case of young men. There never was such a fisherman as the Reverend Rupert Drone. Perhaps I ought to explain that when I speak of the excursion as being of the Knights of Pythias, the thing must not be understood in any narrow sense. In Mariposa, practically everything belongs to the Knights of Pythias, just as they do to everything else. That's the great thing about the town, and that's what makes it so different from the city. Everybody is in everything. You should see them on the 17th of March, for example, when everybody wears a green ribbon and they're all laughing and glad to know what the Celtic nature is and talking about home rule. And on St. Andrew's Day, every man in town wears a thistle and shakes hands with everybody else, and you see the fine old Scotch honesty beaming out of their eyes. And on St. George's Day, well, there's no heartiness like the good old English spirit after all. Why shouldn't a man feel glad that he's an Englishman?